Vaydaber Adonai El Moshe Lemor Tzav Es Aharon Vies Banav Lemor Zos Toras Ha'ola Hi Ha'ola Al Mokida Al HaMizbeach Kol HaLaila Ad HaBoker V'Eish HaMizbeach Tukad Bo. Hashem spoke to Moshe, saying, Command Aharon and his sons, saying, This is the law of the elevation offering. It is the elevation offering that stays on the flame on the altar all night until the morning, and the fire of the altar shall be kept aflame on it. Dot, dot, dot. V'arva l'Adonai minchas Yehuda v'Yerushalayim kimei olam uchshanim kadmonios. Dot, dot, dot. Zichru Toras Moshe Avdi Asher Tzivisi Oso V'chorev Al Kol Yisrael Chukim U'mishpatim Hine Anochi Sholeach Lachem Eis Eliyah Hanavi Lifnei Bo Yom Adonai Hagadol V'hanora V'heishiv Levavos Albanim V'lev Banim Alavosam Penavo V'hikesi Esaretz Cheirem Hine Anochi Sholeach Lachem Eis Eliyah Hanavi Lifnei Bo Yom Adonai Hagadol V'hanora. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to Hashem, as in the days of old and in former years. Dot, dot, dot. Remember the teaching of Moshe my servant, which I commanded him at Chorev for all Israel, decrees and ordinances. Behold, I will send you Eliyahu the prophet before the great and awesome day of Hashem. He shall restore the heart of the fathers to children, and the heart of children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with destruction. Behold, I shall send you Eliyahu the prophet before the great and awesome day of Hashem. Shalom and welcome to another issue of Torah Tidbits Audio. I'm your host, Phil Chernovsky, and this show is for Shabbat HaGadol, Shabbat Parshat Tzav. Recording and first broadcast, Yom Chamishi, Thursday, the sixth day of the month of Nisan, 5775, corresponding to March 26th. What you heard at the beginning was the first two psukim of Parshat Tzav, the weekly portion, and the first and last three, plus one, psukim of the Haftarah for Shabbat HaGadol. We'll talk about it very soon. First, Psalm 121, which we say when we don't say Tachanun, which we don't say for the whole month of Nisan. Shir lama'alot esa einai el heharim me'ayin yavo ezri. Ezri me'im Adonai osei shamayim va'oretz. Al yitain lamot raglecha al yanum shomerecha. Hine lo yanum v'lo yishan shomer Yisrael. Adonai shomerecha Adonai tzilecha al yad yaminecha. Yomam hashemesh lo yakeka v'yoreach balayla. Adonai yishmorcha mikol ra yishmor et nafshecha. Adonai yishmor tzeitecha uvoecha me'ata v'ad olam. Achenu kol beit Yisrael, hanetunim batzara uvashivya, ha'omedim mebein bayam, uvein bayabasha, hamakom yirachem alehem, viotziem mitzara lirvacha, umeyafela laora, umishibud legeula, hashta ba'agala uvizman kariv, vinomar amen. Okay, let's get down to it. I've been debating all morning what to, how to introduce it. This is what I've come up with. The first Shabbat, or sometimes the second Shabbat, right after Purim, which becomes the third of the special four parshiot, is Parshat Parah, where we read about the purification rite for people who contract ritual impurity from contact with a dead body. It's called Tumat Mate, and they use the potion prepared from the ashes of the Parah Aduma, the red heifer, Efer Parah Aduma, to purify themselves. It's a process of 7 days, sprinkling of the ashes potion on the third day and on the seventh day, going to mikvah on the seventh day, and then waiting the day out till stars out. Not the topic of now. It's there because the most common time of the year, in the time of the Beit HaMikdash, when people needed to purify themselves, was shortly before Pesach. People came to Yerushalayim for the holiday of Pesach, and especially to participate in a Korban Pesach, the Paschal Lamb, the sacrifice of Pesach, which is brought on the 14th of the afternoon of the 14th of Nisan, the day that we call Erev Pesach. And in order to participate, you had to become Tahor. And if a person contracted ritual impurity from contact with a dead body any time during the year, he often did not worry about it until he came to Yerushalayim and until he needed to participate in a sacred ritual that required the tahara, the purity. And therefore, the reading of Parshat Parah, which could be any time of the year, to remind us of this very important concept, is designated as the Shabbat before Parshat HaChodesh, which we'll get to in a moment, because that was the most common time of the year that it was used. That was followed immediately last week by Parshat HaChodesh, which this year coincided with Rosh Chodesh Nisan. It's either that Shabbat or the one right before Rosh Chodesh, when Rosh Chodesh is during the week. And in Parshat HaChodesh, aside from the first two verses which discuss setting up of the Jewish calendar, the other 18 verses of the Maftir discuss Korban Pesach, the bringing of the Paschal Lamb, and that which goes with it, the rules of Matzah, and getting rid of Chametz, and Haggadah, and the Seder night, we'll call it. Now, it makes Parshat Parah and HaChodesh, mostly HaChodesh, but Parah is attached to it right before, as a preview of the upcoming Pesach. Now skip a week, this week, and go to Pesach itself. On each day of Pesach, we have special readings in the Torah, and the most common theme, repeated from different parts of the Torah, is the celebration of the holiday of Pesach, and specifically the Korban Pesach that precedes it. It continues thereafter. We have Pesach Sheni that comes in there. On Shvi Shel Pesach, we have Kriyat Yamsuf, but they're all Exodus-related kind of topics. What comes in between those first two that I mentioned and the readings of Pesach is Shabbat HaGadol. Shabbat HaGadol is the Shabbat before Pesach, and the reading is whatever the weekly Sedra is. I shouldn't say it that randomly, because in all 12-month years, Shana Pishuta, Shanim Pishutot, 12-month years, one Adar years, Parshat Tzav will be Shabbat HaGadol. In Shana Me'uberet, what's called leap year, the 13-month year with two Adars, then Shabbat HaGadol can be one of two or three Sedras. I don't recall offhand, not Tzav. And Tzav does duty with other special Sedras, and occasionally it's by itself. Not the point. Most often, because 12 out of every 19 years in a 19-year cycle, the year is with 12 months, one Adar, and Shabbat HaGadol will be Tzav. So we will make some comments, I hope, about the connection between Tzav and pre-Pesach. But there is no maftir in the second Torah. We only take out one Torah this Shabbat, Parshat Tzav. But the Haftarah of Tzav is preempted, as it mostly is, and it is preempted by the Haftarah of Shabbat HaGadol, of which I read the first and the last few psukim, from the end of the booklet of Malachi, which is the last of the 12 booklets of Treyasar, which is the last section of Navi. So we conclude that with the reminder to remember to be faithful to the Torah, and that God is sending Eliyahu HaNavi, here is called Eliyah without the Vav, before the great and awesome day of Hashem, which we basically understand as a judgment day in the future, and the coming of the Mashiach, not related to Pesach, but maybe it is related to Pesach. In any event, that's what I wanted to start with. The idea that you've got Pesach coming, skip, Pesach, and what's in there right before Pesach is not the Yetziat Mitzrayim, the Exodus theme, but rather the Geula Shlema, the final redemption. And that's very significant, because Pesach represents the beginning of our nationhood. Until the events of Pesach, we pretty much were a family, originally a smallish family, and then one that grew by leaps and bounds to become nation-like, but not yet a nation, just a bunch of people. Except that Pharaoh feared us as a nation and enslaved the Jewish people. So now we're about to get out. And Pesach itself celebrates, we call it Zman Cheruteinu, the time of our freedom. Ironically, side point, actually I should never call these things side points, ironically, our concept of freedom is different from the whole world's concept. A nation, especially one whose people were subjugated to foreign rule in one way or another, will declare its independence, sometimes fight for its independence, gain its independence, to be free to do whatever they want. The Jewish nation gained its freedom from Egyptian oppression and slavery to become servants of God. We went from Pharaoh, Lahavdil, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to God. So our real concept of freedom is free to be a servant of God, because it comes with the commitment of the Torah. That was the deal, that was the basis on which we became a nation. And it's not like other nations that write their own constitutions and laws and bills of right. We were given our constitution and our laws. It is called the Torah. So there is a process in Jewish history, and to summarize it very, very briefly, we came out of Egypt, we received the Torah, we were brought to Israel. We stayed there for a while, got thrown out, came back, got thrown out again, and are in the process of coming back again. And the end of this road is what we call the Geula Shlema, the final redemption. And that means the coming of Mashiach, the restoration of Sanhedrin, the building of the Beit HaMikdash, and a sort of we happily lived happily ever after kind of ending, not counting Tchiyat HaMeitim, which is further into the future, and we could talk about that at a different time. Now, Pesach itself, and the Seder specifically, is meant to mark the transition from Avdut L'Cherut, from slavery to freedom, from physical slavery to physical freedom, as in Avadim Hayinu L'Faro B'Mitzrayim, Vayotzienu Hashem Elokeinu Misham, and spiritual slavery to idolatry, to the freedom to be the servants of God. As in Mitchila Ovdei Avoda Zara Hayu Avoteinu, V'Achshav Kervanu Hamakom LaAvodato. So Pesach is the first step, and yet built into the Seder are reminders that this is only the beginning, that there is an end process, a final redemption, which is not what Pesach comes to mark, but it's what is necessary to be discussed and presented on Pesach so we get a better perspective and picture. Where do we see this? Holach ma'anya, we break the middle matzah, we hold a broken piece aloft, and we say this is the bread of affliction that our ancestors ate in the land of Egypt. That passage in Aramaic concludes with Hashata Hocha. Now we're here in Babylonia, in Galut, wherever. Lishana haba ba'aradi Yisrael, next year in Israel. Some of us have been zoche to already be in Israel. But it means an Israel of a higher level. Hoshata avdei, now we are slavery, enslaved. Lashon haba b'nei chorin. Let's go a little bit further. Dayenu. The song Dayenu in the Haggadah starts out very Pesach night oriented. Ilu hotzianu mi Mitzrayim, had you only taken us out of Egypt, but not punished the Egyptians, it would be sufficient to say thank you. And then Horag b'chorehem, that's not there, that's in the Hallel Hagadol. You have the first few lines of Dayenu that discuss leaving Egypt. Then it gets into the Midbar, into the wilderness, and the miracle of the mun, the manna, and the introduction of Shabbat, and being brought close to Har Sinai, and being given the Torah, and being brought into Eretz Yisrael, and the building of the Beit HaMikdash. Whoa, this sort of got out of hand. It started out as a Pesach night poem, but it ended up with a whole summary of Jewish history to the hopeful final redemption, the Geula Shlema. We've had our ups and downs in that. We've had a Beit HaMikdash before, we lost it. We had a second one, we lost it. And we're anticipating and preparing for the third one, which we believe will be the eternal Beit HaMikdash. But again, it's part of the Seder, but not a main part of the Seder. Earlier than that, We had four summary psukim borrowed from the Bikurim Bringer that discuss the night of the experience of the Exodus. You had Yaakov went down to Mitzrayim, few in number and grew to a large multitude. The Egyptians oppressed us. We called out to God. He heard our voice and he took us out of Egypt. That's the main body of what we call the section of the Haggadah, Magid. And yet there's a fifth verse, which we don't recite at night at the Seder. And that's a Bikurim bringer who's in Yerushalayim with a Beit HaMikdash with a sampling of his first fruits, declares, Vayivienu el HaMakom Hazeh, and you brought us to this place, a land flowing with milk and honey, and therefore I am thrilled to present and fulfill this mitzvah of Bikurim. So there is what they call a pregnant pause, because the Mishnah in Psachim tells us to take that portion that begins with the words Arami Oved Avi and darshan it, analyze it, explain it, Ad Sheyigmor Kol HaParsha Kula, until we finish the portion, which we don't. Then you have the bracha of Geula, which is said with the second cup of wine, after the first two passages of Hallel, before the Motzi Matzah Morer Korech Shulchan Orech Tzafon Borech, before we get back to Hallel. A lot of stuff in between. And that bracha starts with Yitziat Mitzrayim, the Exodus from Egypt, but continues on and on to the final Geula. Let's go back again to the Yachatz, the breaking of the middle matzah. We take the middle matzah, we break it in two, we hide the larger piece as for the Afikomen, and the smaller piece is held aloft with the declaration I mentioned before of Holach Ma'anya. This was a practical thing to do because we need another big piece for the Afikomen, but there's much more to it than that. Hold that thought. I'll be right back with more Torah Tidbits audio for Shabbat HaGadol. You are listening to Torah Tidbits audio for Shabbat HaGadol, Parshat Tzav. And we were just talking about Yachatz, the breaking of the middle matzah. Let me go back a little step to fill it in. The practical use of that particular Haggadah procedure, Seder procedure, is the fact that we need two whole matzot to serve as Lechem Mishnah, the two loaves of every Friday night and Yom Tov night meal. And we need a broken piece to represent the hard, crusty piece of bread that a poor person has, that a slave has. And we're not really 100% sure when the mitzvah of matzah is fulfilled at the beginning of the meal when you, quote, break bread, pardon the expression, or at the end of the meal when it represents the matzah that was eaten with the Korban Pesach or representing the Korban Pesach itself. And therefore, we need two broken pieces and two whole pieces. And somebody could have said, I got a great idea. Let's start with three, and we'll take the middle one and break it and hide the piece for later. That's the practical side of it. Rav Adin Steinsaltz and his Haggadah, and I'm sure others discuss it as well, speak of the not the broken piece as the bread of affliction, which is the way we begin the Seder, but as the bread of freedom and redemption, as at the end of the Magid portion, when we pick up that same broken piece and say, Matzah zo she'anu ochlim al shum ma, what's the reason we eat this matzah? And we describe that it was a symbol of the haste in which the people were taken out of Egypt, and the confidence that the people had in God, that they did not linger to prepare bread properly, letting it rise. And therefore, it becomes the bread of freedom. And as such, the hidden piece for later is not just for later at the end of the meal for the Afikoman, but it means later for the future, for the final Geula. Then you have later in the Haggadah, L'shana haba b'Yerushalayim habenuya, which in the Rambam's version of the Haggadah, that was it. That was the end. The poems and songs that follow that were added later. But officially, the Seder ended, not with Chag Gadya, as it does now, but it ended with L'shana haba b'Yerushalayim habenuya. Again, pointing us towards the final Geula in the future. Now, this comes back to be my way of presenting Shabbat HaGadol. The term Shabbat HaGadol is combined from the word Shabbat, which it is, with the word HaGadol from the Haftorah of Hinei Anochi Sholeach Lachem Et Eliyahu HaNavi Lefnei Bo Yom Hashem HaGadol V'Hanora. But there it's talking about a great day of God. Shabbat HaGadol has other reasons why it is and why we call the Shabbat before Pesach Shabbat HaGadol. But in this presentation for this show, it's the Gadol because it represents not the beginning of the redemption process and the nationhood process, but the culmination, the conclusion, where things will be a forever and forever kind of thing. Summary, not only do we have pointers towards the Geula Shlema, I left out an important one, that's the Kos Shel Eliyahu, that fits in with what we say in Shabbat HaGadol as well. The fifth cup, which most people don't drink, is filled in anticipation of the Geula Shlema. So the Seder has many, many symbols and texts that point us in the direction of the final Geula, even though the main theme of the night is the first Geula, Geulat Mitzrayim. And Shabbat HaGadol, the Shabbat before Pesach, already puts that perspective in the choice of the end of the Navi Malachi to be the reading for Shabbat HaGadol with the Hinei Anochi Sholeach Lachem. Speaking of which, I found an old Devekus album that has the song, and I would like to play it for you now, and then we'll talk more. Anochi sholeach lachem, hesei liyach. Now, I think we have a kind of luxury this year of having a full week in front of Pesach. Often Shabbat Hagadol, well, it ranges through the calendar. There's sometimes that Shabbat Hagadol is Erev Pesach, and the Pesach Seder is Saturday night, right after Shabbat Hagadol. And this is the opposite end of the amount of time, where Shabbat, you have Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday is Erev Pesach, and next Friday night is the Seder. So the show, obviously, is a pre-Pesach kind of show. Mirtz Hashem, I'll have another show next week. I doubt I'll have one during Chol HaMoed. It's a possibility, but not that likely. And, I want to get in between this week and next week the things that I would like to share about Pesach. There is no doubt that once Purim ended, Pesach mood started, Pesach cleaning, Pesach preparations, Pesach purchases, and certainly once Nisan began, it went into high gear, and the closer you get to Pesach, the more frantic and frenetic the the shopping and preparations are, and you feel it very strongly in Yerushalayim and in all of Israel and in all Jewish areas. On that note, I would like to share with you something that I mentioned to a good friend of mine the other day, and that is the difference between observance of Judaism, living a Jewish life in Chutz La'aretz compared to living it in Eretz Yisrael, with recognition of the fact that we don't have it in the perfect setting yet either, but there's a difference between the two. And I used as a mushal a short story, perhaps, or a book, or maybe a radio show. Could have been Radio Mystery Theater, come to think of it. I really don't know if any listeners have any idea. I'd be willing to dig it up. There was a science fiction piece about a planned exploration of the planet Mars with intention of colonizing it. And the particular group of scientists that were working on this realized that there are two ways to colonize another planet. One is the artificial way, to bring tents, glass bubbles, power plants that produce the kind of oxygen we're used to breathing, and to have whatever colonies that you want on the foreign body of Mars, in this case, to be supplied with an Earth environment in their bubble, in their spacesuits, and they didn't think that was any big deal, because all it meant was finding someplace new to live. But just like you build a house in the desert and you irrigate to make it green and whatever here on Earth, it would be the same thing on Mars. So their goal was to develop people to have been acclimated to actually living on Mars, to breathe the atmosphere of Mars, and function as a Martian would, if there would be such people. That, to me, was a powerful story, by the way. I don't remember how it ended. I don't remember much about it, but I think in terms of analogies and allegories and parables. And this, to me, is the difference between living here and living outside of Israel. Wherever you live outside of Israel, even in a large Jewish community, in a large religious Jewish community with all kind of services and infrastructure, you're still living in a bubble. You're still breathing from a tank of Jewish atmosphere and air. And the world outside your bubble is still the alien American way of life. If it's America, it could be any other place. In Israel, religious as well as not religious, you're able to take off your breathing apparatus and breathe the air here because Jewishness is in the air. Yes, we have an indigenous Arab population and other non-Jews, but still, you feel the religiousness, the Jewishness, I meant, not religiousness. You feel the Jewishness way beyond your own home and your own little community. You feel it all over. When Ben and Jerry's produced a charoset ice cream, and I don't know if they marketed this in the States, but they made a charoset ice cream, which was vanilla, which contained charoset in it, ingredients made along the Sephardi recipe rather than the Ashkenazi one, but it had nuts and apples and wine and cinnamon and a few other things. And truth is, it didn't much taste like charoset, but that's not the point. The things that are being sold in the streets, especially in Geula, but in town as well, geared towards Pesach, special sales in the stores. I could go on and on, which I don't want to at this moment, but you feel the coming Pesach all over. And you know, it'll even get better as time goes on and as we get closer to the Geula Shlema. It's a wonderful, special feeling. I feel it on every holiday. You feel it as Shabbat approaches. Even in non-religious neighborhoods, Shabbat is a different day from the rest of the week, and Chagim certainly are different and special. In any event, let's move on. In cleaning up my office a little, I came across some old documents, one of which was a Torah Tidbits to Go. Torah Tidbits has been around in its current incarnation for almost 23 years. It'll be 23 years in June. And the Nisan before we started with regular Torah Tidbits, I was asked to prepare a short Devar Torah in writing to be put into a lunchbox for the students, boys and girls, who were part of what we had, Tochnit Nisan, which was a program down in Gush Katif. And they worked in the fields in the morning picking tomatoes and other things. And they had a box lunch, which had a sandwich and an apple and a drink and a Dvar Torah. And because it was Tochnit Nisan before Pesach, the Divrei Torah were oriented to Pesach. So I found one of them that I had prepared. I don't know if I prepared 3, 4 of them, 5, 6, 10, whatever. But I found two of them, actually. And one of them had a Dvar Torah, which I had long forgotten, and I was thrilled to find it, and I'd like to share it. It was based on the teachings of the Chatam Sofer and his son, the Chatav Sofer, and it was about two different aspects of remembering the Exodus. We have a command to remember Yetziat Mitzrayim all the days of our lives, which includes day and night throughout the year. And we have a special focal point of the Seder night, where we have the mitzvah of Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim, telling the story. And on that occasion, we actually have show and tell. We have matzah, we have maror, we had and will have the Korban Pesach, today represented only by the Zeroa on the Seder plate, and it's a learning kind of experience. Now, thinking in terms of mementos, or photograph, to remind a person of something that happened, there are two levels for that. If, a long time ago, you had an enjoyable tiul with friends, and you sort of forgot about it, and you come across a picture in an album of the people on that tiul, you smile and you say, oh yeah, yeah, I even forgot about them. I remember him. Yeah, he used to do that, and he fell down and broke his leg. And it's a way of reminding one of something that he might not have forgotten, might have forgotten, or might have put on the back burner, so to speak, in his mind. Then there are mementos of people and things that you certainly don't forget. Your parents, your friends, your close friends, your children. And the purpose of flipping through an album is not to remember your brother. Of course you know your brother. But it is to bring back warm feelings of in the midst of the turmoil that you might find yourself in. Let me see if I could actually read you the wording here. The mother fondly takes up her child's lock of hair that she has carefully preserved, and she is filled with warm feelings as she relives in her mind the many happy experiences that she associates with the child. It's not the child that she has to remember, but it's the warm experiences. The husband/father looks at the photo of his family on his desk, and the pressures of his workday recede as the feelings of love for his family come to him. So the Chtam Sofer and his son the Chtav Sofer say the following. The mitzvot of the Seder are necessary for some Jews whose commitment to and practice of Judaism are minimal, to remind them of their origins, of the origins of the Jewish people and their relationship with God, lest they forget. The more observant Jews, however, are not likely to forget their Jewishness. For them, though, commemorative mitzvot are true expressions of love of God and Torah. Perhaps this is the meaning of two statements towards the beginning of the Haggadah. Even if we are all wise, we still have the mitzvah. And the more one tells of Yetziat Mitzrayim, the more praiseworthy. It's not just a matter of remembering, it's an expression of love. If it were purely remembering, then you'd have a good question. Why should Talmidei Chachamim, who are well-versed in what happened and are way beyond that in their studies, why do they participate in the regular kind of give-and-take and ask each other the Manishtana and go through the rituals of the Seder, which are commemorative? Because it's that extra feeling of love that this engenders. And V'chol HaMarbe, the more you talk about it, you know, yes, I remember, but now you're going into all of the details. Depends on your attitude. If you have a good attitude, if you have a love of your Jewishness, then there is no limit to how much you could talk about these things and how much you could share with each other. On that note, I will wish you a Shabbat HaGadol. Shalom, Lehishtameya, and Amir Tz Hashem next week, more on Pesach.